Good afternoon, Bay Area. Welcome to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden, where every week we tap into the Bay Area art scene and bring you rich conversations with artists. On today's show, the animated character Tiny Chef has an exhibit and film at the California Academy of Sciences. We'll hear from one of the co-creators of the Tiny Chef show and the voice actor behind the character. Then, actor Don Reed is here to talk about his storytelling show in the Redwoods and a throwback performance from Sights and Sounds After Dark. Today's show is about nature and storytelling. That's all coming up. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Sights and Sounds show with me, Janae Darden. A 6.5-inch green creature known as the Tiny Chef has stolen the hearts of kids and adults. Tiny Chef cooks vegan meals on his show, and he's also known for the way he talks. It's an unknown language and a reminder for us to have patience and compassion for those with speech impediments. Here's a clip of him cooking candied asparagus.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tiny Chef Show. Today, we're going to be making candied asparagus. Sugar, bacon butter, salted pepper, vegetable oil. Cut the asparagus into little chunks, but not too little.
Nickelodeon recently canceled the Tiny Chef show. We'll talk about that later. But he's not gone. Actually, he's right here in San Francisco at the California Academy of Sciences. He has an exhibit and film in the planetarium about how we can help the environment in our everyday lives. It's called Tiny Chef Big Impact, and you can see it now until May 3rd. I spoke with Rachel Larson. She's one of the co-creators of Tiny Chef, and Matt Hutchinson, who voices Tiny Chef. Rachel Larson and Matt Hutchinson, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hi, hello.
I'm so happy you all are here because I have fallen in love with this little vegan made from moss round little creature who wears the cutest cat eye glasses and he lives in a stump.
Yes.
Tiny Chef is so adorable. I've learned so much from him, so I know kids have too. Where did the idea come from, especially too, because he's an environmentalist?
Yeah, I mean, he really, I feel like he just wanted to exist in the world, and like a few creative people brought him to life. But, you know, I was sculpting tiny food. I had a green puppet. My friend Ozzy, who works in stop motion, was starting to develop a cooking show. And she sort of said, why don't we put all these ideas together and have this green character be a tiny chef? And we just started getting really excited about that idea because cooking is like this universal experience for everyone in the world. And Matt's my brother-in-law, and he's always made me laugh with different voices. One voice in particular he would do that would always make me laugh no matter what he said. And I was like, if you can just shape that voice as if it's speaking its own language and we don't know what the language is. And Matt was like, what do you mean?
True. Yes.
But he eventually found it and sent over a voice note of Chef singing Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. And it was so funny. No. And Ozzy and I, who were in New Zealand, and we were starting to develop this project, this idea, got the voice note and we were dying. And we were just like, we have to animate this. It's so funny. And, you know, it all kind of came together in pieces. And, you know, I think we were looking for a little character that, you know, would spread compassion, was kind, was funny. You know, Chef is a culmination of so many people we know. Like, he's part Matt, he's part me, he's part Ozzy, he's part my grandma, he's part my niece and nephew. Like, yes. I think he's sort of the best of all of us. And I think we just probably created a character we wish existed in the world.
I definitely see grandma with the cat eye glasses. And sometimes the way he puts his hand on his, sometimes when he puts his hand on his hip and lean back when he's cooking, it kind of reminds me of an elder. And I was looking at him, I was like, he reminds me of a funny uncle, Yep. He reminds me of like that silly neighbor next door. That's what I said when I watched him. I was like, I feel like I know people like him. That's why I was like, who? Who did y'all pull the characters from? I definitely see grandma. Okay, so you are in-law. So who's married to whose sibling?
I am married to Rachel's sister.
Okay, got it. Okay. Matt, this is your first voice acting role.
Yes.
You hit the jackpot.
So I did. Always. I totally did.
Yes, yes. How has that changed your life?
It has been a complete whirlwind of a change for me. At the time I started doing this, I was in the corporate world and I was an analyst and, you know, eyeballs deep in spreadsheets most days. And I got this opportunity with Rachel. She, you know, she made a phone call and said, hey, I've got this thing and I think you would be the voice for it. And as everyone knows, it just kind of exploded from there.
Did you always want to do voice acting? I mean, since Rachel said you like to do funny voices, is that something that was a passion of yours?
I mean, comedy has always kind of been a part of my household. When I was little, my parents would wake me up for the old Saturday Night Lives at 11:30 at night, and they would get me out of bed and have me watch them.
Wow!
Because I was always so interested in their conversations about them, on Sunday mornings. And that's kind of where everything started. And I became the guy at parties that would make everyone laugh. And I was the guy that could mimic anybody and do the voice of whatever, you know, was funny at the time. And that just kind of morphed into trying to make all my friends laugh. And then Rachel, picked up on that and said, ooh, there's something here. And man, I'm glad she did.
A huge part of Chef's success is Matt embodies Chef, and so his performances are so authentic, and I think that's why so many people relate to Chef, because if Chef's sad, you believe it, and if he's excited, you like Matt goes all in, like all in. So his excitement, you feel it, and if he's sad, you feel it.
Yeah, you definitely feel the heart, Matt. We feel your heart.
Yes,
we feel that. And then Rachel too, you and the creators, we feel your heart too and see it, because stop motion that is not easy. It takes you a whole day to film 10 seconds, right?
Yeah, that's about right.
What drew you to stop motion?
Well, I've always loved miniatures. I love imaginary worlds. I love obsessively doing one thing.
Makes sense.
So stop motion just married all of those things together. And when I walked onto my first stop motion, like into my first stop motion studio, I was like, oh my word, this is where I belong.
Yeah, you were home.
I was home. These are my people. I can do this well. And I think it does take so much time, and it is so all encompassing. You know, all the props you see in Chef's world have been handmade. The sets have been built and lit, and everything you see has had someone's loving light craft put into it. And then the animation takes forever. And so it's something you have to love to do it. And I think, you know, you want to work on a project you love, because you are going to be with it for so long. And, you know, if you're doing a movie, that could take 2 to 4 years. If you're doing an episode, that could be 2 months of your time. Ozzy and Jason are the other people creating what we're doing now. And we really have to be like, is this the right idea? Is this video worth making? Because it's going to take us at least a month.
Yeah. And so each frame, so if he moves, like he chops a lot because he's a chef. So, and the show is about his cooking show. So like when he chops that onion, that one chop, that, you know, because you, it's like each little movement is a frame, right? And so.
Yeah. So you're moving his arm down to that onion millimeter by millimeter, and you go back and you take a picture, you move it another millimeter, you go back, you take a picture. And then you start to chop. So now you got to cut the onion, replace that little cut with Chef's knife, then go take a picture, then do it again. Like, it is the most tedious job. And if you're not into it, it's got to be the worst job in the world, and if you're into it, it's the best job in the world.
Yeah, no, and when I watch, yeah, and when I watch it, like I said, it's much respect to you. And I'm glad because you all had a video where you took us behind the scenes to show how you make Tiny Chef, and I was just really, really just wowed. You know, he has a huge personality, and one of the many things I love about him is that he isn't afraid to step out of his comfort zone. And I think as adults, we can learn from him too. And he lives life to the fullest. He loves life. So that's why I said that love that you all put in the show, and to him, I could feel it. Like, he goes hang gliding. I saw him on PBS. He was in Mexico doing a remote interview. He experienced... Yes. this little creature, he is living his best life. He experiments with fashion. He doesn't let his speech, I guess it's a speech impediment, he doesn't let that stop him. He doesn't let his size stop him. He's just, you know, and his celebrities come on the show. He's so outgoing. What message did you want to send to kids, us adult kids and little kids, as far as like about living and loving life? Because I really see that with him in this character, because he's just all over the place in a beautiful way.
Yeah, I think he just loves life, and he's altruistic, and he sees glass half full all the time. And I think he's just really curious, and he wants to try new things. And often when we're telling stories with Chef, we are usually pulling from our own experiences. So whenever we're thinking through ideas, when one just comes through and so we're all laughing, we just know, like, forget everything else. That's what we're going with. That is funny. It's interesting. It's new. And I think keeping Chef feeling alive, he has to try new things. He has to make mistakes. He has to keep exploring life. And I think it is a good lesson for anyone of any age, you know, like, go explore things, be willing to make mistakes, you know, try new things, and do it with like a big heart and, you know, an open mind. And I love it.
Yeah, I do too. If you're just tuning in, I'm chatting with Rachel Larson and Matt Hutchison from The Tiny Chef Show. Rachel is one of the creators, and Matt voices Tiny Chef. And you can see the exhibition and planetarium film, Tiny Chef Big Impact, at the California Academy of Sciences in San Francisco. And it's running until May 3rd. So Tiny Chef Big Impact is a film. It's in a planetarium, because Chef is in the planetarium, honey, in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Because Chef does things big. He's tiny, but he does things big. But in the film, he explained how he's healing the earth through eating a plant-based diet, like wearing clothes made from natural materials, cutting down on using energy. So he's skateboarding to get around and bicycling. How did this come to be?
Well, the museum approached us about maybe doing a collaboration. And I remember I went to the museum maybe like 10 years ago, and I was just blown away. This is like the coolest space, and loved how they were bringing how magical the world is to like this way you could experience it in a day. You know, like, wow, all of these species, all of this is in this world, and it's a magical space. And so when they approached us, I was like, wow, a chef in that space would be incredible. Like, and I, you know, they are really big on conservation and like science and preserving the life that's here. And I think Chef is about that too. And so we were thinking, you know, this would be a really cool way to like make these ideas really accessible to kids too. Like, you know, thinking about the impact you have on earth and just living compassionately and thoughtfully. It just felt like a really good marriage of physical space that people could go see Chef and see, you know, some of his items, because his items are so interesting to look at. The little tiny roller skates and his little outfit.
Yes, in the exhibition. Oh my God, wait a minute. Yeah. He has a Clipper card, okay? Which is the card we use to take public transportation in the Bay Area. And I was like, he has a little Clipper card in his exhibition. It's so cute. The exhibition is cute, and the film is really cute. And let's play a clip of the film. I just want people to get an idea.
Oh, hey, Chef. Hello, everyone. I'm Chef's Tech Guy, and I'm here to help run the show.
Thank you, Basham. What's get scouty, everybody? Like Basham, what's wrong with this show, please? But you may be asking yourself, how do you know you're healing the Earth, honey chef? A Basham, if you will.
Chef and I have created the Impactometer, which measures how his actions add up to help regenerate and heal our natural environment. Chef will be walking you through his top three healing categories. Energy conservation.
Chefy Powell.
Sustainable clothing.
Fashion.
And food choices.
A cuisine. Let's get to it.
Okay, so while the clip was playing, while you all were listening to that clip, I am so excited to announce that Tiny Chef was actually able to make some time for us to talk, and so he just jumped on the call. So I'm going to bring him in. He's so gracious because he's actually filming his cooking show right now, but he took a little break to talk to us. So I just want to welcome Tiny Chef. Hey, Chef!
Hello, it's me, it's Tiny Chef. Mr. Briggs on.
Yes.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thanks for having me, everybody.
Yes. Welcome, Tiny Chef. I'm so happy that you're here. I wanted to talk to you briefly. Like I said, I don't want to keep you from your show. What are you cooking today on your show, actually?
Well, today I'm cooking falafel. Oh, it's delicious, too. And it smells so good when it's cooking. Oh, I can't wait to try it.
Oh, I love falafel too, Chef. Oh, that sounds so good. And I know, Chef, I know you know how to throw down in the kitchen because I watch the show. So I know.
I sure do.
Oh, yeah, I know you do. Okay. So, Chef, I just wanted to tell you real quick that I saw your film in San Francisco in the planetarium.
Yes.
I saw it the other day. And, Chef, there were a bunch of little kids in there. So, like, it was a bunch of kids there on a field trip. I know. I was so excited to see the kids because I wanted to know their reaction. And so when I was there, Chef, they enjoyed it. So before it even started, like once they saw like you come on the screen, they started clapping.
It was so cute.
I know, it was so cute. And then at the end, you know, at the end of the movie, after we learned all about how you help, you know, live like, you know, eco-friendly and like how you help with the environment through the things that you do, the kids and the big impact, we cheered for you, we cheered for ourselves to make a greater impact. But the kids were discussing the film. They were analyzing like their impact and your impact. How do you
got the old gears turning, huh?
Yeah. So, Chef, like, how do you feel about, you know, kids' reaction to what you're doing, to you know, how you're spreading this great information about protecting our environment?
But I'll tell you, Janae, I love it. It's just wonderful because the next generation is going to have to deal with all these things with the Earth. And if we can instill some good conservation with the next generation, we're just going to be that much better off going down the road, I tell you.
I definitely agree with you. And I do want to protect the Earth, not just for me and for the kids coming after me, but for you, because you live in a tree stump.
Of course I do. Oh, it's the best tree stump, too.
I know it is. I know your electricity bill is low.
It's all on Chevy Power.
Well, Chef, I want to thank you. Chef, can you give a shout out real quick to my producer, Porfirio Rangel, because he's the reason why I'm even doing this story.
Well, I'll tell you what. Me and Porfirio, we got into the office in an exposition, and I went in there, and I said, listen, Porfirio, we're going to have to do this in a corner of the office by himself, and I don't know if we can even do it, because it's so wild here, but we found a spot, and we're going to get it. I never had it all worked out great.
Well, I'm glad that Porfirio was able to meet with you and talk to you briefly and get some of that tape. And we're going to air that too later. Chef, I know you got those falafels cooking and I don't want to keep them burning. So,
thank you.
Yes, thank you so much, Chef. We'll have to do this again.
Okay, love you so much. Bye.
Bye. All right, you guys, that was the Tiny Chef. We don't get big stars around here all the time, but we got the Tiny Chef. Chef has been in Super Bowl commercials. You guys have won Emmys for this show. And people were shocked this past summer. The show was canceled. The celebrities were not happy as well. Dionne Warwick made a comment. And I want to play a clip of this heart-wrenching video that you made of Chef, where Nickelodeon called him. It said that the show was canceled. Heartbreaking.
Yes, Pluto, Tiny Chef here. Hey, Blacka Floatam, Blacka Cuin. Ready to cook up some more blepisodes? Blacka the Blillion Blanket. Canceled? Bloody me, canceled. But we brought a blebby. Brought my friends. But I understand. But I love you too. Bye.
Okay, I could hear the emotion in his voice. And the thing is, and see it, and then you can see it too. It's just, you know, we all can relate to that, getting laid off. Do you know why you all were canceled? Because people were shocked because you all have done so well.
I think, you know, a lot of it is just speculation because I think, you know, Nickelodeon was going through a lot of changes. And I think it was hard for them to green light shows that weren't just huge kind of money makers at the time. I think because they were going through a lot of changes in the company. But again, it's hard to really pinpoint what exactly was the decision. You know, it was a really successful show. We won Emmys, we won Annies, we're up for 4 more Emmys. It got really good ratings. You know, it was a hit. I think it just didn't quite have the time at Nickelodeon to create toys and all the things that really like make sure that, you know, the financials are working out. I think maybe if we had like, you know, another 2 seasons, I think it would have been a different story. I think we were just like a very young show for them.
Mm. How long were you on for?
We had 2 seasons.
Oh yeah, that's new. Yeah.
It was, the timing wasn't great, you know, and but it really turned, the cancellation really let us know how much Chef means to people. Like without that, you know, we kind of do all these things in a bubble, you know, we do all this work in a studio and then we kind of send out content. We can kind of gauge, you know, people like Chef and we get lots of like emails and so we have a sense of what Chef means to people before the cancellation, but that cancellation happened and people really came out for him. They really like, really let us know how much Chef means to them or their kids or their grandparents. Like it was such a magical moment for us as a team to know this is worth, it's expensive and it's hard to keep going, you know, and it really gave us all a boost to say this is worth it and let's keep going and make this work. So it was like this negative that really got turned into a positive.
So what can people do to help you?
Yeah, I mean, we set up a fan club that's super helpful because it's monthly membership. That's super helpful. Sharing content with friends, commenting on videos you like, joining our fan club, that helps us financially. Someone was like, Chef owns the most wholesome corner of the internet. And it's true. Like if you look at our comments, people are so kind and funny. And I just think the Tiny Chef community is so precious.
People can still watch Chef. They can watch him online, on social media, YouTube channel, all of that.
Yep. That's where our best storytelling happens is Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. We have total creative freedom there. And it's lovely.
Well, I appreciate you both. There's so much going on in the world. And so just to have, like your friend said, just that little corner on the internet and in media where it's just wholesome and uplifting and makes you smile and where we learn something. So I just really appreciate that the work that you both do. Rachel Larson and Matt Hutchison, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That was Rachel Larson, co-creator of The Tiny Chef Show, and voice actor Matt Hutchison. See Tiny Chef, Big Impact at the California Academy of Sciences, now until May 3rd. And coming up, he doesn't live in a tree stump like the Tiny Chef, but his upcoming event is bringing folks out into the Redwoods. Don Reed is here. Stay with us. Listening to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden. Picture it. You're in Marin County, surrounded by majestic redwood trees, under a starlit sky, sitting next to someone special, sipping on your favorite beverage or cocktail, listening to real-life tales from talented storytellers. Then Don Reed comes on stage and says something funny and you're cracking up laughing. But that still does sound nice, right? Don Reed is the host and producer of Redwood Nights, Storytelling Under the Stars. And their next event is on Wednesday, February 11th at Deer Park Villa in Fairfax. And it's about getting love and getting no love. And here with me in studio is actor and comedian Don Reed. Hey! Ooh,
ooh. So happy to be here. Very happy. That was a great introduction.
Thank you. Thank you. I said Don Reed is here. He tells stories. I said, I got to bring it.
Oh, that was ideal. I was like, I wasn't expecting that. I'm like, yeah. let me clap for that right now.
And I had to bring you in. I'm like, didn't Diary say something funny? but it's always good to talk to you. Always good to see you. This thing looks beautiful from what I've seen.
It's so stunning. It's a very magical place. The backstory and how it all came about. I have a business partner. His name is Mike Gieringelli.
Okay.
And Mike said, I have this other location, because we were working on some stand-up projects. He said, I have this other location in the Redwoods in Fairfax. I think you should see. I don't know if we can do anything.
Yeah.
And as soon as I walked through the archway, I got a knot in my throat. And my eyes teared up a little bit. I said,
oh.
I know what needs to happen here. He's like, what? I said, Storytelling Under the Stars.
Mm.
He said, you think people want to see that? 2 years later. And over 5,000 guests.
Wow.
They definitely do enjoy it.
Of course. I mean, to sit under the stars and hear stories.
Yes.
That's taking us back to a different time, too, as well.
Exactly. You know, the backstory on the location is his grandparents, Mike's grandparents, came to that location when there was just a diner on the property.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, wouldn't it be great to get married at a place like this one day? And so they made it happen, and they got married there. And then they said, let's make a wedding night promise that we'll one day own a place like this. And Grandpa Joe worked and worked, and Grandma worked and worked, and they finally got that property. But the magic of it was that those trees weren't even there. The grandfather went and got some 15-foot saplings from the hills and the mountains and planted them, and now they're these 200 feet redwoods, and we're now there sharing these true, sometimes moving, sometimes hilarious stories.
Wow, that's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story. So how does, you know, you as a storyteller as an artist, being in that space, you know, in this grove of redwood trees, and again, it's at night, the stars are in the sky, we're so attached to our devices. I'm just thinking, like, how does that setting affect the mood, you know, for you as a storyteller and people in the audience?
I think by being around nature, actual real nature. It's a beautiful location. People aren't sitting on the ground. There's nice chairs and cocktails and oysters, but you're in real nature with real trees.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets people closer to connection. Like if you're in an office building or a theater, that could be wonderful. But when you're outdoors like that, it adds a layer of magic. There are some things we believe in as we tell people to come share this flow. And I've always felt when it comes to human connection, it's not enough just to put yourself in someone else's shoes. You have to put yourself inside their story.
Right.
You know, it's deeply aligned. Salman Rushdie once said that when a child is first born, they ask for love and, protection. But as soon as that kid can say it, they say, tell me a story.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what that connectiveness is about. So we suggest people don't pull out your phone, stay connected, because there's like so much artificial intelligence, so much of that. And that can help you get some projects done faster.
Right.
But when we come here, we're doing a different kind of AI, and I call it authentic interaction.
I heard that.
So people are connecting, meeting people you never would have otherwise met, and hearing just these great tales.
I'm telling you, I'm still that kid inside that's like, once upon a time. When I hear a story, I want to sit down and just,
I know, right?
Yeah. And people, y'all not sitting on the ground.
No camping chairs. There's wonderful couches and chairs, and it's a great experience.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And tell us about the storytellers.
The storytellers, we're different in that we're our a curated group. I pick storytellers that most of them have been doing it for a long time, like super pros. I dig the moth. I've hosted the moth a couple of times. But that's like anybody put your name in a hat and you can go up there. But these are people who have won moth 10, 15 times from NPR, late night television, Risk, all the storytelling platforms.
Yeah.
The best are here and shining from all walks of life.
And you guys are doing well because you guys sell out tickets pretty quickly.
They move very fast. Our present show coming up is Holding for Weather. It's sold out for like 160 plus people.
Mm-hmm.
And when it rains, we go indoors for our show. It's barrels and candlelight, intimate and kind of cozy situation. Yeah, that show.
I was expecting that.
That show. The theme is, I think they love me, I think they love me not.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
So it's like a pre-Valentine's Day.
I tell you my very short love story. A shorter version right there.
Okay.
I've been crazy, over-the-top, magic in love for about 2 years. I mean, like, unbelievable. You know, I love you. I said, Snuggums, I said, I love you. I love you too, baby, from upstairs to downstairs nonstop. But she moved in after 4 months.
Oh.
Right?
Wow.
But the kicker to the story that is kind of wonderful is we were friends for 35 years.
Nice.
And now it's like electric. I mean, but I never had any intentions to be with her. I wouldn't have told her about all my dates over the years.
Like, she knows you.
She's like, Sandra's not going to work. But we weren't going like, let's position to be together. Time just happened. I had already, you know, got divorced many years ago. She was recently divorced, and she's like, maybe we should check this out. I'm like, what you talking about, girl? You crazy. Anyway, so I'm going out with Wanda tomorrow night. She's like, no. I said, we should check this out. I was like, oh, you serious, huh? Bam. Now it's all the way on.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of insane forever loves. I know for sure, you know, I've been in some things and I thought they were special. Mm-hmm. This is that.
This is special.
Yeah.
It's nothing like falling in love with a friend. Yeah.
Right?
When you start off as friends, that's such a good foundation for a relationship.
Exactly. Sometimes it could be a left turn too, like, oh, we shouldn't have tried that. But this has been very, very special.
That is true. It could go either way. Well, I'm glad it's working out for you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's really, really beautiful. So this theme of, you know, what is it? They love me, they love me not. You got some love. So she loving you. So where did this theme come from? I mean, I've heard, you hear that, you know, they love me, they love me not. But it's pre-Valentine's Day. So it sounds like you want to look at love and anti-love.
Exactly. Because I know some people are not feeling Valentine's Day.
Right.
So that's what we say. I think they love me / I think they love me not.
Yeah.
Because some of the stories make a left turn. Like, ooh, I thought that was going to work. It did not. So
okay.
It'll be the spectrum of love. And the storytellers are from Dry Bar, America's Got Talent, a 13-time Moth Story Slam winner, a Stanford professor.
Nice.
Nice mixture of cultures on stage sharing these tales.
Nice. If you're just tuning in, I'm chatting with actor Don Reed. He's the host and producer of Redwood Nights, Storytelling Under the Stars. And their next event is on February 11th at Deer Park Villa in Fairfax. Tickets are temporarily sold out, but additional tickets will be available this Saturday.
Yes, Saturday. Check in and we can ask some more. But there's another show coming up on February 25th. Those are available right away. And the theme for that particular night is, that was a night that everything changed.
And that can go either way, too.
It could go all kinds of ways. It could go wonderful. It could go heartbreaking. It could go hilarious.
Right.
There are many avenues, yes.
Yes. I love that because it's so open. Those themes are so open-ended.
Yeah. I give them a lot of thought, but I don't tell the storytellers, tell a story like this. I'm like, here's a theme. Do you have something for that? And then leave a lot of freedom. I don't overproduce and read this story 19 times. You know, did anything happen with your mother here? Just let them share what they really want to share. That's part of that authentic interaction.
Yeah, and artists love that. Artists love to hear, just do your thing.
Yeah.
So, and you say your lady name is Sandra?
No. That was a person I was talking about to her. Her name is Jennifer.
Okay, Jennifer. Okay. So pre-Jennifer, I want to hear a story about that took place pre-Jennifer. You were with your brother.
Okay,
pre-Jennifer. He was trying to hook you up.
I got a couple. The first one is my older brother was, he did very well in the ladies department when I was a blinking, nerdy, tickish, and just out of that religion that rhymes with Jehovah's Witnesses. I learned a lot, not really for me, but I learned a lot about public speaking. Anyway, he said, we're going to go, he said, we're going to go on a double date and, you know, I'm going to hook you up. But these girls, they're from San Francisco. He would say that to try to be cool. They're from San Francisco. So we got to be up, you know, it's kind of classy. So here's the thing. We both know my name is Daryl. But don't call me Daryl around them. Call me Darrell. Oh, I was like, but your name is regular old Daryl. He said, call me Darrell. I'm like, okay. So we're in the car heading towards Lake Merritt on a beautiful, birds are chirping. It's a beautiful day. But I'm giving him a hard time. Hey, Darrell, what time are we going to get there? Hey, Darrell, are we going to have anything to eat? He's looking at me like, that's enough, okay? And then we got out the car, and the girl said, I knew his name was regular old Daryl, because I had a friend who tried that. She tried to tell us her name was Loquisha, when we all know her name was Laquisha. So ain't nobody trying to play that game. So fascinating stuff.
Darrell. I'm like, Darrell and Daryl is still... it's still the same. I know where you're from.
It's still the same.
And you also, I understand, well, you know, they say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Right.
But you got something you want to share about that happened in Vegas?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't in that direction of like, ooh, stay in Vegas, don't tell them. But it happened in Vegas.
Okay.
I got my very first booking in Las Vegas. And I had to make a decision if I was going to take this 30-day contract, because I'm wanting to be a comedian, 30-day contract, or I'm going to take my finals at UCLA. And it was Vegas or my finals. Vegas, right? And I said, I'm going to go to Vegas. If it slows down, I'll come right back. But it didn't. I kept getting extended on the contract. But one day I was in my hotel room warming up my voice. I was trying to get ready in my hotel room before I was going to the showroom. I was in my hotel room going. practicing a dog from across the street. Or a pit bull right in your face. But I was getting ready in my room. And I left my room to head towards the showroom, and I overheard these two maids talking to each other. And one maid turned to the other one and said, girl, are you going to clean up room 104? The other maid said, girl, I ain't going in there. There's a German Shepherd in there. I ain't going in there. I said, no. That was me. And I went, I said, that was me. One of the maids laughed, but the other one said, boy, you got the devil or his cousin up in you. Oh. Stay away from me, okay? You got some German Shepherd in you. So that was just a crazy moment that happened in Vegas, right near when I first got there.
I'm, you know, because all kind of sounds you hear in Vegas hotels. So, yeah, it should have been chill. Because I'm like, I'm sure they were worse.
Yeah, one was like, oh, that's very funny. The other was like, oh no, boy.
I'm like, Vegas hotel. That's they hear a dog barking. That ain't bad.
She said, I'm not going in there. There's a German Shepherd in there. I'm not going in there.
I'd have been like, I hear talent. I hear brilliance.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, it's such a treat to see you perform, and like just to like I'm sitting right across from you, so to see you perform and hear you. Because even when you did like a pit bull, I kind of jumped for a second.
Right.
Because you changed your voice so quickly. You're so gifted, as you know, we've been telling you over the years.
Thank you so much.
Gifted and so talented. It's always a pleasure just to, like I said, just to witness you. Okay, so we have about like 6 minutes. Well, maybe about 5 minutes left. It goes by so fast, dog. Mm-hmm. Okay, you got so much stuff coming up, and I'm so excited for you.
Yes.
And I want to dig into that. Okay, so first of all, with Redwood Nights.
Yes.
What's coming up with that?
Redwood Nights, Storytelling on the Stars. And basically, that's every other Wednesday, the second and the fourth Wednesday of every month, year-round. When it's cold, we have heaters, blankets, hot toddies in the summer. Don't need that. But it's the second and the fourth Wednesday just about every month, and we've already got it planned out to the end of the year.
Okay. And then also, too, there may be some iteration of it.
Yeah, exactly. If it rains, we go indoors for barrels and candlelight. But we're also talking to the Henry J., which I just did the grand opening for, grand opening storyteller, of doing Redwood Nights there under the brand of Redwood Nights, doing storytelling at the Henry J.
Oh, okay, wonderful.
And that might be outdoors overlooking Lake Merritt
or
the Lakeview Club upstairs. Have you ever been up there?
No.
It has these arched windows and a view of the lake with a full bar. You could be in there with some intimate candles.
Oh, that's
hearing
nice.
Wonderful stories.
Okay, because that's great because I don't have a car, so it's hard for me to get out to Fairfax, but definitely, I definitely want to check
Excellent.
That out.
Excellent, we'll hook you up.
Okay, and then I'm also excited because you have a memoir that you're working I am so excited about.
Yes, and that came from Redwood Nights. Simon & Schuster editor saw me there, reached out probably 4 or 5 months later and said, we'd like to offer you a book deal. And I was like, wow. That's special. And the reason why it kind of touched me is I had a manager back in like the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And she said, Don, we got to find a writer for you. You're really a good performer, but we got to find you a writer. I said, I can write. She's like, no, I'm talking about a real writer. And that really bothered me. So when I hear this feedback from Simon & Schuster and my agent in New York that this is original, universal storytelling, I get kind of teary. Because I was told I couldn't write, and now I'm with one of the top publishing entities on planet Earth. So she was wrong.
Very wrong. And then the thing is, like, you know, you didn't have to, you know, you're very blessed and fortunate. You didn't have to, like, submit, you know, and pitch. Like, they came. It's no feeling like when they come to you. And you don't have to, you know, be on the struggle bus trying to get your work out
the
there.
Struggle bus, exactly.
Please read my manuscript, please.
Please, yeah. It's I have 9 one-man shows now.
Okay.
And so it's the framework, it's structured off of all the different one-man shows. East 14th, Can You Dig It, The Never Too Late Show, Semi-Famous, Going Out, all these different solo shows that I've had. It's a breadth and wide scope, you know, kind of boiled down to a magical little fun read.
And please tell me you're doing an audiobook because you have to do an audiobook.
I'll be all over the audiobook.
Yes.
Playing my father and my brother, right? And my teachers. I had a great teacher when I was competing for UCLA and doing intercollegiate speech and debate. And I won the national championship in the funny event. And I was doing E.T. and some other character voices and stuff. But I won against Harvard and Duke and everybody in the country. I won first place in that event. And I came back to him and I said, I won first place for UCLA. He said, no, I remember when you weren't really proud of saying you were from Oakland. I would catch you saying, I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And you're from Oakland, Don. Own that. It'll mean even more when you beat everyone. So I want to say you won first place for the University of Oakland.
Because back then, it's like people would say, I'm from San Francisco because that was more known or more considered accepted when you're trying to break into the industry.
Right.
Wow. You know, and that's funny. And I know we got to wrap up soon because I'm thinking about, you were talking about someone who was telling you that you couldn't write.
Right.
One of your agents?
It was a manager.
Excuse me, a manager. And I'm thinking about that agent. We talked about this last night interview. That agent from when you did your Tonight Show, one man play. And I wanted to. I don't know what she looked like, and I'm not a violent person. But I said, "Ooh, I saw that woman."
She was the woman who.
Because people didn't see it, because exactly it's gonna be in the book.
I don't want
to spill it. That was a big twist for me. You've just come so far, and I hate that people are like trying to discredit you, saying back in the day you couldn't do it, and look at you now. How does it feel, Don?
It feels so fulfilling, but I think more importantly, I want to press it out to people outside of me. Engage your stories, engage the things you've been through. A lot of people don't have a lot of vulnerability around there, but I think vulnerability is a superpower. I think embarrassment is something that people don't explore enough.
Yeah.
And there are great stories in being embarrassed with things going wrong. So come on out to Redwood Nights and hear some of these stories.
Diary, it is always a pleasure. You know, you can come back anytime.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, I just appreciate you. Thank you so much. Don Reed is the host of Redwood Nights, Storytelling Under the Stars, and their next event is on Wednesday, February 11th at Deer Park Villa in Fairfax. And next up, we're getting you warmed up for Valentine's Day with a few love poems. Don't turn that dial or click away. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden. It's time to talk about love. Next Thursday, February 12th, is our event, Sights and Sounds After Dark, The Love Factor. Join us for a night of poetry and live music, and this will be happening at KLW's downtown San Francisco venue. And just to get an idea of what to expect, here's a throwback performance from our 2024 Sights and Sounds After Dark event, which featured writer Nazila Jameson, and you've heard on the show before. Nazila is an incredible slam poet, and here's her spoken word about love.
This here is a love poem, because you know it's Black History Month. And you know I'm Black. Oh, and you didn't notice, I'm Black. And this is a love poem to Black people. This is called Be Black With Me. Be Black With Me. Close your eyes and smell the collard greens wafting in the kitchen breeze. Be heady from the fragrance of cocoa butter and fortitude. Sniff of freedom you can barely touch. Come, be black with me. Let's run fast and dance to the beat. Run your fingers through your own nappy curls. Be successful against the odds, like repression was a springboard. Let us be black together. Weather storms as if we are human umbrellas. Fight systemic oppression like MMA champs. Choose to ignore the microaggressions in favor of winning the war. They will wrap their racism in transparent gift paper, lynch us with condescension instead of rope, ignite gaslights for us to see by in attempt to camouflage our righteous anger. But we'll be black, inevitable as shadows, timeless as a moonless night, both co-conspirators and witnesses. We must keep each other sane in the midst of the madness they have made. So this is a love poem to the brokenhearted. Who brokenhearted up in here? Why y'all all shy about it? You better be proud. That means we tough. We got claws. Rawr. Okay, this is called Alchemy. And when he breaks you, this time, like a brittle riding crop across the back of a wild old beaten horse, pick up the pieces of your liberty and run. When he shatters the transparent, fragile parts of you, which make you open to love and beautiful tragedy, toss the shards high into the air of your darkest night and call them stars. When he dashes your hopes into splinters, sweep them into a pile, pretend they are feathers and glue them to your back. When he fractures your essential boundaries and devotion, mosaic your heart into an exquisitely compelling living sculpture. And when he breaks you, again, this one last time, realize you are whole even when broken. You are a perfect jigsaw puzzle, not a pretty framed destructible picture. Gather and recreate yourself defiantly new. Oh, all right. Okay. I put this on the list. I don't know this person anymore. I wish them well. This is a love poem to the past. It's called Rehab. The last time I saw you, you had no upper teeth. The area flat between your lips and your veiny lower nostrils. It was only that one day, for no other reason except that you laughed. Your amusement park mouth gaped to reveal an entire missing roller coaster track. Looked like you spit out your ivory parts and sold them as crack to random passers-by, because you were always a shady drug dealer quite unlike the first time I saw you, when your smile sucked me in like wood smoke, burned into my retinas, ignited my dreams, two neat rows of ecstasy tabs addicting my pill-popping heart. Too bad your life is a dirty spoon you spit into and shot yourself up and away. I imagine empty vials and bottles rattle around inside your hollow medicine chest when you throw back your head and laugh. When I asked, what happened to your smile? You told me you were robbed. I think you torched it getting high. You are a sobering carnival attraction. I am in permanent recovery. You are the phantom menace who chases me in my infrequent drunken nightmares, a toothless shadow threatening to devour me, but always 12 steps behind.
That was poet Nazila Jameson. Visit klow.org/events to RSVP for this year's Sights and Sounds After Dark, The Love Factor. And that's on Thursday, February 12th at 220 Montgomery Street at KLW's venue in downtown San Francisco. Show starts at 7 p.m. And that's all the time we have for the Sights and Sounds show with me, Janae Darden. Thank you to our show producer, Porfirio Rangel, our board operator, Damian Miner, and our director of audio programming, David Boyer. And thank you so, so, so much for tuning in. We'll have another great show for you right here next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Until then, be good to yourselves and each other.